The Click and Go Travel Podcast, fueling your wanderlust with far-flung, off-the-beaten-track destinations to just across the water and everything in between.
Welcome back to the Click and Go Travel Podcast. Today we're thrilled to have in studio a very special guest, Emily Lawyer from Destination Cleveland. Emily is here to give us the inside scoop on all things Cleveland, from the must-see attractions to the best areas to stay. Get ready for expert insights, top tips, and plenty of inspiration for your trip to this vibrant city. Hi, Emily. Hi, Paul. You're very welcome.
Hi, Emily. Great to have you on board.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Really looking forward to hearing all about Cleveland, because fess up at the start, neither Jill nor I have been. Shame on us in terms of the travel industry. But I think we're probably going to be talking to an audience of Irish people, most of whom haven't been. So it's a really exciting new destination in terms of raising our awareness and us getting to learn about it and understand the attractions and what Cleveland has to offer. So I am really looking forward to the next while and hearing all about it.
I'm excited to share. Cleveland is my hometown, so it's very easy for me to talk about.
Oh, brilliant. Oh, great.
So originally from Cleveland, that's really cool. And maybe just to start, how would you describe the atmosphere or the vibe around Cleveland for someone that's never been?
So great question, right? And, you know, being part of the United States where there are many mid-sized cities across the country, you know, to differentiate ourselves, I would say, you know, when you come to Cleveland, you get a combination of an urban energy that you might expect to feel in some of the bigger cities of the United States. But then you also have this Midwestern hospitality. So almost this smaller town feel where you're walking down the street and, you know, someone's just going to say hi to you, make eye contact with you, smile at you, which you don't normally feel in some of America's larger cities, a friendly, you know, feel to it. But I think you're also going to feel when you sit down and talk to Clevelanders, you're going to get a sense of, you know, that we're hardworking, resilient people, that we are really passionate about our city and really proud of our city.
Brilliant. Sounds lovely. What population roughly is Cleveland, just in terms of giving us an idea?
So the metro area is about 2 million. The city proper is about 350,000. But, you know, as we all know, visitors don't see city lines and county lines and sort of geographical barriers. So, yeah, it's about 2 million. So good size, but also small enough that you get that friendly feel that I just talked about.
Well, that sounds ideal.
Yeah, it sounds like a great place already.
And maybe we'll kind of just do some geography in terms of fixing in people's mind where Cleveland and where Ohio is. So we let you kind of give us the geography lesson here, Emily. What are the marker points that people would relate to?
Happy to do that. So we're located in what is considered the Great Lakes region. So, of course, there are five Great Lakes. Most people are most familiar with Lake Michigan because that's, of course, the Great Lake that Chicago sits on. Mm-hmm. So Chicago by drive time is about 6 hours west of Cleveland.
Okay.
And so if you then think about, you know, moving 6 hours east to Cleveland, and then if you drive about another 8 hours east, you're to New York City. So we really sit, you know, just about right in the middle of Chicago and New York City. We are along the south shore of Lake Erie, which is the shallowest of the five Great Lakes. And of course, our neighbor to the north is the Canadian province of Ontario. Hopefully that, you know, acquaints people to a map when they look at the United States. It's what we in the United States also call the Midwest part of the United States.
Yeah, perfect. I have Chicago to my left. I have New York to the right, and where my face is where you guys are.
The best part's in the middle.
Brilliant, brilliant. And your lake shore.
We're so fortunate, both in the city and then in our metropolitan area. You know, we do sit right on the southern shore of Lake Erie. For residents, of course, tons of access all along. But most of our visitors, particularly our international visitors, would stay in our downtown or the neighborhoods that are directly adjacent to downtown. And they have an opportunity just about, 3 miles, so a little bit under, about 5 kilometers west of downtown, there is a beach and a beautiful park. So you can go and have a day at the beach in the summer. You can go take a walk, bike ride. You can, you know, get a stand-up paddleboard and be out on the lake. So lots of opportunity to enjoy our lakefront.
That is lovely, especially if you're in the Midwest, because then you're so far from coastal U.S., but to have the lake access. So proximate to the city is just brilliant.
It really is. And I will tell you, one of the things that we hear from visitors when I've had some travel agents and operators in and visitor, just, you know, consumers as well, is they look out at Lake Erie and they're like, that's a sea. So really, it's almost better described as an inland sea than a small lake.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I think if people relate it to Chicago and Lake Michigan, it's exactly the same. Like, these are just like, they're not like Irish lakes. These are effectively, as you say, seas in terms of the scope and the scale of these. But it sounds great. And Aer Lingus are flying direct now 6 times a week out of Dublin. So that's really good. And this, I think, is their third year, isn't it?
It is. It started in May of 2023. And proud that in this third year, the service went from 4 times weekly to, between the beginning of May and the end of October, 6 times, as you said. And then we'll go to 5 times for the remainder of the year. So just absolutely thrilled to have Aer Lingus coming into Cleveland with the pre-clearance in Dublin.
So you get
off the plane in Cleveland and it's like a domestic flight.
Yeah, it is just a joy. And like, hats off to Aer Lingus in terms of, you know, I know there is not a new route for this year, but like, it just speaks to their focus on USA and creating that route network that is phenomenal. Like, they're one of the fourth or fifth highest in terms of carrier numbers into the United States out of Europe. Like, it is a hell of an achievement for a little island that is only 5 million of us sitting here on the other side
fantastic.
Of the Atlantic.
And I think what it does by creating that network, you know, we talked about Chicago, you know, this year they introduced Indianapolis.
Yes.
So what it provides is, it provides that interconnectivity so that when an Irish traveler comes to the States, we know that it's very unlikely, other than maybe in New York City, that an Irish traveler is just going to come to one city. So with the Aer Lingus having the new routes, you can fly into Cleveland and out of Chicago. You can fly into Cleveland and out of Indianapolis, or the reverse. So it just gives a lot more options to the Irish traveler.
I think that's a great point, because, you know, whilst Cleveland as a destination wouldn't be well known by the Irish consumer, Irish consumer has a love affair with the United States. And to have that option to do 2 or 3 cities and to be able to fly in and out of one, and Click and Go can tailor make all of that and put it all together and do, you know, fly drive or have some free time in between the 2 cities. And that's opening up. Like, even New York is not an impossibility in terms of twinning with Cleveland, Chicago, as you said, Toronto possibly as well, you know, and Indianapolis. So you're really opening up the scope of what somebody can do as a holiday.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And most people, I would say most Irish travelers, really aren't even familiar with the full state of Ohio.
Probably
right?
not.
Cleveland is just one of the 3 largest cities in the state. So we have Columbus and Cincinnati as well. And, you know, if you did a, you know, the 3 C's, as we call it in Ohio, you could still easily get over to Indianapolis for your inbound or your outbound flight on Aer Lingus.
I agree. I think our geography, by and large, we're quite good geographically, but I think we're quite good when it comes to the United States in terms of East Coast, West Coast. We kind of get a little bit lost. I'm probably going to be given out to, but we probably get a little bit lost. But I have my positioning now. You're right on the shores of Lake Erie, kind of midway between Chicago and New York, and 5-6 hours drive time to Toronto. So I know exactly where I'm talking about now. And I hope the listeners do too.
Yeah. And in terms, you've mentioned staying in downtown, but what are the other areas to stay in when visiting Cleveland?
Like you said, I mentioned downtown. We have 18 hotels downtown in a very compact city center, which makes everything so walkable. But we also have some adjacent neighborhoods for people who may desire more of a home type of stay, a short-term rental as an option. And then we have a few other pockets in the area, more in our suburban areas, where there are what we call hotel clusters. So out to our west, we have an area, a hotel cluster around one of our lifestyle centers. So I know that a lot of Irish travelers like to shop when they come to the States.
Yeah.
So if you
Absolutely.
Want more of the suburban feel, or perhaps you even have family and friends in the Cleveland area, you could stay out in our Westlake cluster, or to the east in the Beechwood cluster, or a little bit south, about 8 miles south, is the Independence area. And the neat thing about the Independence area is it's really the gateway to the Cuyahoga Valley National Park. We have the distinction of having the only national park that is in such close proximity to a metropolitan center, and that's Cuyahoga Valley. So Independence, if you stay there, you're right on the border of the park, but also can easily get into downtown Cleveland.
Brilliant. I'm lo- loving the fact that the city is walkable and small and manageable, because I think we like, innately, we like those sort of cities.
Yeah.
Just in terms of the friendliness and the being so navigable.
It reminds me a lot of Dublin, honestly, from the time I've spent in Dublin and being able to walk around, or Cork as well.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Of course, with the river as well, that always serves as a place to sort of anchor to. And we have, of course, the river and the lakefront in Cleveland.
Spoiled. And a national park just 30 minutes away from the city. Like, that is, that's very gold.
Oh, it sounds like a great place. And what would be your top things to do in Cleveland?
Well, of course, we have what I would call the traditional, tourist experiences. The one that is very unique to Cleveland for the international traveler is, of course, we are the home of the world's only Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Most people scratch their head and say, why is the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in Cleveland? It has been here since the mid-90s, and it is here because the radio disc jockey back in the early 1950s who coined the phrase rock and roll did it on a radio station in Cleveland, Ohio. So his name is Alan Freed. And it was at the time that genres of music, you know, types of music were really blending. You had a lot of different influences in music. And he said, going into a song, and now we are rockin' and rollin'. And from then on, the genre became known as rock and roll. And it happened here in Cleveland, Ohio. We had the first, in fact, rock and roll concert in Cleveland, the Moondog Coronation Ball. And so when the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame was founded and they were looking for a location, Cleveland lobbied and raised the appropriate amount of money. And now we have a beautiful building from I.M. Pei. It has some resemblance to the pyramid that is at the Louvre, of course, as well. And it sits right on the shore of Lake Erie in downtown Cleveland. So number one for most international visitors is the Rock Hall. We are also super fortunate to have an amazing arts and culture scene in Cleveland. We have the Cleveland Museum of Art in University Circle. Adjacent to it is the Cleveland Museum of Natural History, which has just gone through a $150 million transformation. So when I think of natural history and I think of natural history museums, it takes me back to my youth and perhaps not the most interesting museum. I will tell you, I have been to the new museum and I could go back time and again because it's very hands-on. It presents natural history in a very different way, one that speaks to how we consume and really retain information today. Also in that University Circle area, the Botanical Garden, Severance Music Center, we are the home of the Cleveland Orchestra, considered to be the top symphony orchestra in the United States, right here in Cleveland, Ohio. So that really arts and culture hub is another sort of day or half day experience for a visitor. And then beyond that, I think the other two things to do are to experience American sports in Cleveland. I mentioned when you asked me what the vibe was about Cleveland, I talked about how passionate we are. Well, our passion and our pride are very, very, very tied to our sports teams. So we have basketball, baseball, and American football. And in some ways, the mood of the city sort of ebbs and flows by how our sports teams are doing. So great opportunity to have the American sports experience. And then finally, get into our neighborhoods, the neighborhoods adjacent to and just beyond downtown. That is where you're going to feel the authentic Cleveland. And you're going to go home saying, I can't believe I've never heard of this city. It's an amazing metro center, as well as the friendliest people I've ever met.
Wow.
It sounds like a total hidden gem or unknown to us.
Just being a secret. It sounds great.
Yeah, yeah. Like you've just kind of opened it up in terms of so much stuff, you know, like the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. How long would you spend, or what do people do in terms of, is that a half day? Is it a full day?
You know, Paul, I think it depends on sort of who you are as a music lover, right? If you are more of a casual music person, you enjoy it. You like more sort of today, you know, you want to see some of the costumes of artists that you know of today. It could be probably a couple of hours because it's a 7-floor museum. Now, granted, it's a pyramid, so the floors get smaller as you get toward the top. But it's still 7 floors. It could be a couple of hours. It could be a half day. It could be a full day. Because when you're at the Rock Hall, there are so many different areas throughout the building. Everything from seeing those costumes that I talked about to displays that talk about the history of rock and roll, how it came about, how it is less of a very specific, defined genre and more of a feeling. Like rock and roll is a feeling, how it influences daily life. Some of my favorite areas, there are two that are great. One is called the garage, which people, again, scratch their head. Why is something called the garage? Well, don't all amazing rock and roll bands start in their parents' garage? And you can get in there and you can pick up instruments and you can be the rock star that you always thought you were going to be, but perhaps life, you know, threw you a couple of curveballs or maybe less musical talent, but you can pretend for, you know, a half hour that you're a rock star. And then there is, of course, the Hall of Fame area, where every year the new inductees, you see memorabilia from their time as rock artists. It's so moving and inspirational to hear their stories and figure out how they got to be in the world's only Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Wow. And then all of those museums, which would be ideal in terms of if it's a bit too hot or a bit too cold, that you can get indoors and just get great experience. But I'm also loving, you'll have to say the name of the valley. I can't quite pronounce it. Cuyahoga. That wasn't too bad.
Oh, not bad.
Yeah, so tell us a little bit about Cuyahoga and also the botanical gardens, because there are things you can do outdoors. And also we'll do some of the outdoorsy stuff and then move to the sports.
Sure, absolutely. So our outdoors, again, something that surprises people as to how much we have. And I have not done the conversion, so shame on me. But between the Cuyahoga Valley National Park and the Cleveland Metro Parks, we have about 55,000 acres of green space in the Cleveland area. Yeah, exactly. I see your face. I see your face, Paul. It is anywhere you turn, even downtown, you can get out onto trails that are either along the water or in a wooded area, really to just enjoy and sort of, you know, kind of set your mind free if you like on your holiday. So the Cleveland Metro Parks, they have 18 different park reservations around in the metropolitan area. In the winter, even they have a toboggan run. You can enjoy that if you are if you like speed and cold. That's a very fun way to enjoy the outdoors of winter. And then, of course, as you mentioned, the Cuyahoga Valley National Park, which is about a 20-minute drive to the start of the park from downtown Cleveland, about 30 to 35 into the heart of the park. But there's beautiful waterfalls. There are wonderful hiking and biking trails. The Ohio and Erie Canal Towpath Trail runs along what was the towpath, where, you know, was a vital part of the economy in Ohio in the 1800s and 1900s. And it's almost 100 miles long. There's just a little bit of it that we still have to finish to interconnect the full 100 miles. But rent a bike and enjoy some riding on that. And then if you ride too far, you don't have the energy to get back to where your vehicle is, you can take the Cuyahoga Valley Scenic Railroad. You can load the bike on the train in the middle of the park and enjoy, you know, a more relaxing way back to your vehicle, which in the fall, talk about a wonderful way to leaf peep. People all talk about the Northeast in the United States as where to see the fall leaves. I would say the Midwest, hands down, much less crowded, more relaxing, and just as beautiful, if not more.
Wow. And how large is the Cuyahoga Valley National Park?
So it is about 33,000 acres. It spans two counties.
Wow.
It's into Cuyahoga as well as Summit County. I'm not sure of those 100 miles, how many are in the park. I don't have that number off the top of my head, but there are lots of different areas of the park. So you could even make it a multi-day, go to one part of it today, another part tomorrow. So if you want to do some museum time, but then you want some outdoor time every day, if you're staying down in Independence, it's very easy to get to.
And Lake Erie itself, summertime, wintertime, how does it work with the city?
Well, so in downtown Cleveland, you can enjoy sunset, you know, right there at the lakeshore behind the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. There's a park. It's in the North Coast Harbor area. And then I talked a little bit earlier about Edgewater Park, which is about 5 kilometers west of downtown in the Edgewater and Detroit Shoreway neighborhoods. Right there, great walking paths throughout the park, a beach if you'd like a day in the sunshine in July or August when you're in Cleveland and you want to enjoy, you know, some real relaxation time. Or if you want to enjoy some sport, there is a place at Edgewater where you can rent stand-up paddle boards and really test your core strength out there on the lake. The waves aren't very big in the summer unless there's a storm that's rolled in. So it's an idyllic day to relax along the lake shore.
It just sounds stunning, like this combination of compact city, really nice vibe, friendly, small, And then to have all of this outdoor stuff that you could do in the summer, and then all of the museum and the culture piece and the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. My God.
Sounds amazing.
Yeah.
You know, I haven't even scratched the surface of the riverfront in downtown Cleveland.
Tell us.
We've talked about the lake, but the Cuyahoga River also runs through the Cuyahoga Valley National Park and ends at Lake Erie, at the mouth of Lake Erie. Along both banks in downtown Cleveland are entertainment districts. So you can sit back and enjoy a beer and watch the sunset at Collision Bend Brewery. Also have a meal there. You can take a walk along the riverfront. There is a boardwalk along there. There are different restaurants, entertainment facilities. You can also rent a kayak and be out on the river. And as those 600, 700 foot long freighters come down the Cuyahoga River down to the steel mills, which are a few miles inland, you can be kayaking alongside a mammoth freighter. And it's not for the faint of heart. I'm not sure I would do it. Yeah. But I have seen many, many Clevelanders and visitors do it, and they seem to enjoy it.
Wow. Let's go back to the sport piece. So you have everything. You have football, baseball, and basketball.
We do. And we also have minor league hockey. I would be remiss if I didn't talk about the Cleveland Monsters as well. So all of our sport facilities are in downtown Cleveland. So the Cleveland Browns play right along the lakefront, which is, again, not for the faint of heart in, you know, November, December, and January. It can be very cold, but that almost really makes the experience even more unique to get the wind whipping off of Lake Erie while they're playing American football. And then the Cavaliers, Cleveland Cavaliers, are our basketball team, NBA basketball team. Very, very good last season, went into the playoffs. And they play at Rocket Arena, which is also where the Cleveland Monsters, our hockey team, plays. And then we have the Cleveland Guardians. They are our Major League Baseball team. Long, long time in downtown Cleveland in the Gateway District, right next to the arena at Progressive Field. So almost 365 days a year, there's some sort of professional sport being played in Cleveland, Ohio. And our collective psyche sometimes and mood sort of ebbs and flows with our sports teams.
Yeah, yeah. We can relate to that, like in terms of like county football in Ireland. And we have two of the American colleges coming over to Dublin later this month for American football. So it's becoming really, you know, acknowledged in terms of a participation in visitor sport here as well, which is really good, really good.
Well, and don't you have an NFL game, I think, toward the end of September? The Vikings and the Steelers,
yes,
I think,
yes,
are playing?
Yes,
yeah. Well, and for any Irish American football fans that miss that game, they can come to London. The next week, the Cleveland Browns are playing in London at Tottenham against the Vikings. So lots of opportunity to learn American football.
Yeah. Rather than just see it on the TV. I was at the college game last year and I'm going again this year. And it was amazing. It was really good to see. Like, it is a full on event. It's not just like a game. It's a whole half day of entertainment and fun and eating and drinking and sport as well, which is the perfect combination.
Absolutely.
It's a production.
It is definitely. And talking of food, let's talk a little bit about food. Jill, do you want to?
Yeah. What are the kind of top foods, or what would you recommend in Cleveland? Is there anything specific to Cleveland?
Well, of course, we have quintessential Cleveland foods. But overall, we have, I would say, a food scene that most would not expect in a city our size. For Cleveland chefs, using local ingredients is really important. And, you know, seeing that we are only about 60 miles away from a rural area where so many things are grown throughout the spring and summer, it really provides that opportunity for our chefs to do really creative, inventive, and delicious dishes. But if you come to Cleveland, I would say you have to have one of a couple of different things in Cleveland. So first, we have pierogi, which if you're not familiar, is our dumpling, if you will. So we have a heavy Eastern European population that settled in Cleveland in the 1900s. And their cultural foods have stayed as well. So to enjoy pierogi in Cleveland, I would say you would go to maybe the Rowley Inn or Jukebox or Prosperity, all of those in the Tremont and Ohio City neighborhoods. Another option, we started as a really heavy manufacturing center. And so the workman's lunch, right, that is compact and sort of one bit is important. So we have very Cleveland sandwiches called the Polish Boy. And so it is a piece of kielbasa sausage in a bun with coleslaw and French fries on it. So it's kind of the full package, if you will.
Wow. The fries
and then some
are in
barbecue
the bun.
Sauce or hot sauce.
And the fries are in the bun.
They're on top of the kielbasa.
Wow.
You know, so you can still grab a Polish boy at a lot of different places. Again, the Rowley Inn, which is down in our Tremont neighborhood. Banter is another option. And then I would say the third type of the quintessential Cleveland food, we have a Food Network, heavily awarded James Beard Award-winning chef. His name is Michael Simon, and he has a restaurant called Mabel's Barbecue, and he has created Cleveland-style barbecue. So if you're familiar with the different styles of barbecue across the U.S., right, you have a very sort of mustard-based, vinegar-based barbecue in the Carolinas. You get into more of the Kansas City area. It's more sort of the tomato-based barbecue. All delicious, all different. And now we have Cleveland-style barbecue, the basis of which is what we call stadium mustard. So it's a brown mustard that you know, first kind of came about and had its use at the baseball stadium. And still today, you can get it at the baseball stadiums. But that's the basis of Michael's, of Chef Simon's barbecue. And it is delicious. So that's the third quintessential Cleveland food. We like our meat and potatoes here in Ohio.
Good,
very,
we do too.
Very Midwest of us.
Very good. You mentioned Columbus and Cincinnati as kind of partnering or neighboring cities. Is there anything more you could tell us about those for like doing twin centers or day trips to those areas?
Yeah, I would say they're probably not day trips. Columbus is about a 2 hour, 2.5 hour drive from Cleveland. Okay. And then Cincinnati is about four and a half from Cleveland. So they definitely would be part of a multi-center trip if you were to do that. You know, all three cities, all start with C, all on the same interstate, but that's probably where the similarity ends, because you can have a unique experience in each city. Columbus has a very young and hip vibe to it. It is home to the Ohio State University, which is almost a city within the city. So, you know, down there, lots of great small neighborhoods, art districts. Sport is a big part of their city as well. They have a National Hockey League team in Columbus, the Columbus Blue Jackets. You get down to Cincinnati. Cincinnati and Cleveland probably share a little bit more similarity. I think, you know, we have the older buildings. We've got the great beer culture in both cities. Arts and culture. You have the Ohio River, of course. Cincinnati and Northern Kentucky are just split by the Ohio River. So really, it's the Cincy region. And of course, Northern Kentucky is the start of the Bourbon Trail for those who enjoy bourbon. Of course, you know, all bourbon is whiskey, but not all whiskey is bourbon. And so that's the differentiator for our friends in Kentucky to enjoy. But day trips from Cleveland, I would say a couple of popular ones. As American football gets popular in Ireland, we have the Pro Football Hall of Fame in Canton, which is about an hour south of Cleveland. And then an hour west of Cleveland, for those that enjoy thrill rides and amusement parks, we have Cedar Point, which is in Sandusky, Ohio. And it is the roller coaster capital of the world.
Oh, wow.
They might be up to 18 roller coasters at this point. I lost track, but you know, you name the record, they've set it. Highest, fastest, number of times you go upside down, all sorts of roller coasters, many of which are way beyond my body's tolerance.
And what's that place called, Emily?
It's called Cedar Point.
Wow.
And it sits literally right on the shore of Lake Erie. So when you are at the top of some of the highest roller coasters, if you open your eyes, I would not, you look out and there is Lake Erie right in front of you.
And I know we've only been chatting a short time, but it just seems like an absolute hidden gem in terms of what it has going for it. Location-wise, in the city itself, in the downtown area, like with that music vibe, with that music and culture piece, and then having so much close on your doorstep to enhance like a visit to Cleveland and make it really, really worthwhile. It just sounds like a stunning place to go. Weather-wise, is it really a two-season kind of city?
No, we're definitely a four-season location. Absolutely a four-season location. Let's start with winter, right? Because it's when everyone would say, well, why would I come in the winter? I would tell you the reason to come in winter is because there aren't crowds. And as we've talked about, we have a ton of museums and indoor options. And winter in Cleveland does not mean feet of snow all of the time, right? Okay. We're not a Rocky Mountain location that has so much snow that you can ski every day of winter, right? So first of all, that's not our topography. But, is there snow in winter? Yes. Do we know how to deal with snow unless it comes in a massive storm? We absolutely do. It's part of our climate, Midwest. Right? Mm. So we have the trucks, we have the salt, things like that to deal with it. So it's not difficult to get around. And I will tell you, a lot of our outdoors, if you don't mind cold weather, it's also not bitter cold, right? Mm-hmm. The polar vortexes that we've heard talked about and experienced over the years, that's not all winter for us. Again, it comes and goes. Spring, beautiful. To see the trees start to bud again and the tulips, that's, April and May timeframe. You get into summer, June, July, August, really even through September. My favorite season not to leave Cleveland, because being on the lake shore, you just have so much opportunity to be outside and enjoy. And then fall, I think fall is the hidden season in Cleveland, because, so many people expect to go and want to go to the Northeast. Well, it's still warmer in Cleveland in the fall, but yet we have the leaves changing. So you get sort of the best of both worlds from a temperature and a beauty standpoint.
And then you have that lake, you have all that lake shore, you have Cuyahoga National Park, and you have all your other locations outdoors. It must be spectacular.
I'm probably considered biased because I did grow up here and I do promote the city.
But that's what we want to hear.
I have traveled all over the world, and every time I fly home and see the city skyline and get off the plane, I know I'm home. I'm in the city where I, am intended to be, and then be able to go and learn from other places.
Well, I tell you, your enthusiasm is infectious. Yeah. Like it really has brought the city to life in terms of just the conversation and learning about it. And I love learning somewhere new. It's now definitely on the to-do list.
Yeah, absolutely.
No question. Have to go. Have to see this. I didn't know. I have a cousin who lives there, Mark and his wife Maureen, and their two kids live in Cleveland. We haven't been. They were over quite recently. So they're very good at coming over to us. But now I definitely have to go and visit and catch up. Catching all of this wonderful opportunity that Cleveland is. It's just brilliant.
Wow. It sounds amazing.
Love something to have
new.
You.
Yeah, yeah. It's great to learn something new and to see something that, again, is so convenient with Aer Lingus 6 times a week in the summer, 5 times a week right through the winter. That just talks to the fact that, the market exists, there's really good interconnectivity, and then to combine with other destinations or just really enjoy the state.
And one thing we haven't talked about that I just want to sort of bring up and make people aware of is the affordability of Cleveland.
Okay.
Right? We are not a New York City. We are not a Chicago. We are not a LA, which also means that it doesn't cost as much to enjoy time in Cleveland. Our hotel rates, on average downtown in 2024, the average daily rate was about $200 a night at a downtown hotel, right? And that range, that average covers everything from a Ritz-Carlton down to a Hampton Inn. Okay. So the full range of hotels as well, some of which also include breakfast. And one of our hotels even does a happy hour that they include along with breakfast. So real value that a traveler experiences in Northeast Ohio. Our museums also, some of which the Cleveland Museum of Art, we didn't really dive into, but it is more than 100 years old and it is considered to have one of the best collections in the United States. Guess how much it costs to get into the Cleveland Museum of Art?
Tell me free.
It's totally free other than special exhibitions.
Wow.
So,
this is very
you
topical.
Go home with money in your pocket.
There's a lot of coverage at the moment about cost of living, both here and abroad, and cost of living and cost of holidays in the US. And we're making quite a play this year in terms of this year, the value for the European consumer is slightly better because the dollar is weak relative to the euro. So that is helping. But then it's great to hear destinations like Cleveland, which have a really good value proposition, because some of the standout locations, there is a lot of media coverage around the expense and the cost. So it's great to have. And thank you for doing that, because I think that is a really important message for consumers to understand that there is great value propositions out there. And it probably is in the lesser known destinations.
Absolutely. And then when you pair our destination with an Aer Lingus flight that also has the value proposition to it, mm-hmm. right? It makes the whole holiday package through Click and Go, one that a consumer can easily do.
Brilliant. Yeah. great.
That's great. Well, thank you so much, Emily, about sharing all those top tips with us. And thank you for listening. And if you'd like to follow us on our social media, we're on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and we also have a YouTube channel. Thank you so much for all the information that you've shared, Emily. And thank you, Paul.
Thank you, Emily. That was really, really great. Great to have you today.
Thanks so much. It was a pleasure to be with you.